Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
We're live from high above downtown Billings, Montana, broadcasting all across the state, including in the Flathead. If you want to talk to Congressman Ryan Zinke, start calling in now. He is in studio with us here, 406-294-0970. First, I promised Elena in Phillipsburg we'd take her call right away. So, Elena, thanks so much for calling.
Well, thank you for taking my call and holding me over. To continue with Stevens, I believe that's his name, that he called about property taxes. I'll just say what he said, but in reverse. The government owns nothing. We, the individual, the flesh and blood, human being, owns everything. I'm going to read something to you, and I'll cut it short. If you earn it, they tax it. If you spend it, they tax it. If you save it, they tax it. Here's where I'll take it shorter. If you invest in it, if you build it, if you sell it, if you live in it, if you drive it, if you eat it, if you give it away, when you die, they tax it all. And then they waste it. That's the government.
Well said.
And George mentioned that book by Gorsuch. It's excellent. I'm reading it now, and basically it just confirms what I've believed all along. And I am running, and my platform is to scrutinize every bill, anything, where any regulatory agency, federal or state, is involved. This has got to quit.
Well, thank you so much, Elena. I'm certainly on board with everything you just said, Elena. We'll get Congressman Ryan Zinke. What's your take on that?
Well, a lot in there, and we the people, right? And I think the reason why we are where we are as a country, where we're upside down, you know, boys are playing girls sports. We have the Olympics doing a parody of the Eucharist. I mean, is there nothing holy anymore? Is we didn't pay attention. So to your point is we all got to pay attention and do our duty. And on the federal side, the Chevron decision, which we can talk about, the Chevron decision is, look, there has to be congressional intent. And when these government agencies decide to go on their own and overreach, and in Montana we see it with public access, we see it with when they want to control, you know, the Yellowstone, they want to control the inflow, the water temperature, the riparian banks, they want to flow the intermittent streams, all go into the Yellowstone River, and they don't know where it is. So these are from people in the federal government, D.C., that want to control almost every aspect of our life, yet they don't have any clue where we're at out here. And when I tell people in D.C. that Montana's the same size as from Washington, D.C. to Chicago, plus 45 miles, they're deer in the headlights.
Yeah, that was so funny when Donald Trump was talking about how it's everything's a 2-hour drive in the state, and he said he went to his Secret Service and said, "How long does it take to get there?" And they said, "Sir, 2 hours."
2 hours.
He loved that. But folks, call in now to talk to Congressman Zinke, 406-294-0970.
I tell you what, there are locals in Lolo that are not that loco about being a part of Missoula County anymore, especially given the tax hikes and more. So I threw this question out on our Montana Talks website. Is it about time for Lolo, Montana to secede, to withdraw from Missoula County and become a part of Ravalli County? Check out the legislation that was posed before the legislature. That and more, go to MontanaTalks.com or download the app.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble filling in for Aaron Flint. We got Congressman Ryan Zinke with us all through this hour, taking your phone calls, 406-294-0970. Congressman Zinke, I have one question for you. I've been hearing a lot about this from people in Montana and people I respect, lawyers. I don't know if you saw this story, but the UK police commissioner, they've been arresting people in the UK for posting online criticism of immigrants, criticism of Islam. And there's a Fox News story right here. UK police commissioner threatens to extradite and jail U.S. citizens over online posts, and they said, we'll come after you. New York Post, UK police commissioner threatens to extradite and jail U.S. citizens over online posts. We'll come after you. Of course, they don't have free speech in the UK. They're arresting UK citizens for posting online comments online, and I'm just wondering, what's your take on that, and is there anything you can or would do to prevent that?
Well, good luck with the UK. Is sad but true, but the fact of the matter is, in the United States, you look at the First Amendment, all those have been assaulted at by the Harris Biden and now the what would be the Harris Waltz. And I'll give you an example. We have freedom of speech. Well, you have elements that want to censor conservative thought. You had in COVID your right to assemble. Could go to church, you could go to Costco, but you couldn't go to church. So freedom of assembly, freedom to choose, all those have been under jeopardy. First, Second Amendment in Montana, which rises very high in our priority list, that's been under assault. And the Fourth Amendment, having the government for some view, somehow the government has a right to look at your papers, your bank documents and stuff without probable cause and a warrant. That's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. So that is what the battle in FISA and our rights. And every day, I would say in D.C., there's two threats. First is a threat with Hamas, and it's real. In my lifetime as a former SEAL team commander, I spent most of my adult life, finding, identifying, and eliminating terrorists. To see them in our capital is staggering and stunning. Hamas is not in Montana per se, but the elements of a unrestricted border is, in here, in Billings. There's sex trafficking, child trafficking, drug trafficking in Billings, and that's our border. So there's issues in this country. I think that's a threat. The second threat is, again, the Constitution. Is that, look, if in Montana, we're Democrat, Republican, Independent, but we all should respect and defend the Constitution, especially those that take the oath of office.
Amen. Amen to that. So, looks like we might have a caller wanting to talk to you here in a second, but what are you doing in Billings?
Well, the Speaker of the House is here. The Speaker is in the House. So, 3:45 up at Beacon Air. We're going to do a rally. And look, in the last few days, Montana has had President Trump. We've had Jim Jordan in the Flathead. We've had Steve Scalise, number two, in the House in Bozeman. And now we have the Speaker Johnson. And the reason is Montana is not only on the map, but Montana holds the keys in the fate of our country, both in the House and the Senate, because in order to change the direction of this country, we need to keep the House, advance the Senate, and win the presidency. Montana voters are going to decide the House and the Senate race. And I can't think of a better people to decide the fate of our country than Montana.
Incredible. If you're going to put the fate of the United States Senate and the U.S. House in the hands of anyone, it's ought to be the people of Montana.
You're absolutely right on that. And the Speaker understands that, and he's here. But it's also good for Montanans to have leadership here, because Montana, we're a little different. We have a little libertarian streak, not liberal, but we don't like to be told what to do. And especially, we don't like to be told what to do by people that don't know what they're doing, which is mostly Washington, D.C. They want to control the riparian bank, the water flow, the temperature, again, of Yellowstone River. They have no idea where it is.
They want to control the temperature of the whole earth.
And they want to control, banks, small community banks, who they lend to, what rate, based on some formula concocted in Washington, D.C. Enough's enough, right?
Right.
And I think America's paying attention. This election is about choices. And you have the most radical extreme choice on the leftist group. And, you know, Trump, I think Trump's a movement as much as it is a candidate. You know, I know President Trump personally, and look, he's 100% New York, okay? He's 100% New York. What can I say? But his policies were phenomenal. And for Montana, look, we interviewed, gas is about $2 a gallon or so. We lowered emissions. And on the environment, the Great American Outdoors Act was the largest investment in our national forest and park system in the history of this country. So Donald Trump gets things done. At the end of the day, you know, people like I hear, you know, some of my friends that have, you know, Trump derangement syndrome, et cetera, et cetera. You know, so I guess, well, tell me about his policies. Tell me about what he gets done. So ultimately, we're in kind of a quagmire as a country because we're going in reverse. We need to stop that and start paying attention to what we're doing. And policies of Trump, listen, as a secretary, he is a good boss, and we got things done.
All right, let's go to just muted myself before I brought Tim and Billings on. Hey, Tim, can you hear me? Are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yep, we got you. Tim, go ahead. Actually, you know what, Tim? I just took you on right here as we get the music for the 30 seconds. Can you hang with us through this break?
Absolutely.
All right, I'll throw you back on hold here. Folks, if you want to talk to Congressman Zinke, ask him a question, 406-294-0970. We have got Tim and Billings on the line. We got Congressman Ryan Zinke in-house. We'll be right back. This is David Noble. That's Noble with a K, filling in for Aaron Flint.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, this is David Noble filling in. We've got Congressman Ryan Zinke in the house. We're taking phone calls, 406-294-0970. We have, did you have something to say there?
No, we're Tim. Thanks for waiting, Tim.
All right, let's bring Tim on. Tim, thanks for calling.
Good morning, gentlemen. Commander Zinke, thank you much for your service in many forms to the United States. I have a little gripe. President Trump survived an assassination attempt. One American was murdered.
Yep.
What did Congress do? They shortly went on vacation afterwards. If you were still in the military and you had a catastrophic failure of your unit, what would you have had? You'd have had a stand down. There'd have been an investigation. There'd have been some root cause analysis. What do we need to change? None of this is happening in the Secret Service. Americans are sick and tired of business as usual in our government, and that's why Donald Trump is so loved. He's not the one bite at a time, the elephant type of person. He's the, no, this is wrong, we're going to fix it now, because there's never a wrong time to do the right thing. And it is time for people, and I beg you, I implore you, you are a leader. People follow you. Take big, dramatic action steps. Make a scene, because Montanans, Americans, we need to see that our government cares about us, not about the bureaucracy, not about the uniparty, not about the bureaucratic beasties and the shadow government, and not about their next election. We need to know that Americans are cared for by the people we send to represent us.
All right, God bless your heart. All right, so here's where we are in the assassination. From my view, I divide it in two areas. One is pre-shot and post-shot. Pre-shot, well, look, we could be in the air 4 hours, and we could talk about every negligence, break of protocol, incompetence. You know, they saw a shooter, 30 minutes. I mean, what's a shooter doing on the roof with a gun? You know, it just goes on and on and on and on. Well, I'm also concerned about post-shot, which a lot of people aren't talking about. You know, if you remember when Reagan was shot, he was in a car 1.5 seconds. He actually didn't get shot by the round. It was a ricochet and almost killed him, right? 1.5 seconds. So what happens with President Trump? So what you know is your principal has been shot. You don't know how many times. You don't know the number of shooters. You just know he's shot. So they bring him down. He should have been wrapped in a ballistic blanket and out of there by the time he noticed his shoes. If you've ever been on a shooting range, right? Pop-up targets, they shot, and they got him. They hit him. So he's bleeding. And you don't know, again, one shooter, two shooter. It could have been like that nut job in Las Vegas that blew out the windows that killed 50 people. All right, so what happens? Rather than get him out of there, they pop him up a number of times, again, just like a shooting range to give someone. So this is where it all boils down to.
Didn't Trump demand that? Like, the Secret Service was telling him not to, and I thought he demanded it.
You know, Trump looked at the moment. He said, they missed me and got up and gave the pump. You know, so Trump. But the point is that it should have happened because the security should have been out of there. So this is where I'm going in this, is that I know negligence. I see incompetence. I see break of protocol, you know, thousands of things. I want to know whether it was knowingly and willingly and intentional. Look, if you atrophy security to the point where you put your main principle at risk, there's a big difference between intentional action, whether it's willingly and knowingly, and you're incompetent. But if this is intentional, this goes a lot deeper. And the task force that this Speaker Johnson has put together will get those answers. You know, we are a branch of the government. We're not the government. We are a branch of the government. And believe me, all of us are locked on to, including President Trump, of getting the truth on this. I want to know the truth. In Bozeman, Trump was there, electric, you know, packed house, as many people, you know, outside the parking lot, people there the night before with lawn chairs. There was lawn chairs stacked up a mile high, right? But you look at that. Security was well run, and believe me, I have a watchful eye because it was part of my job as a former SEAL commander, and I've done presidential details. I've done details overseas. The organization, there were a few areas that I kind of raised my eyebrow, but mostly that's an improved package of security. The president felt comfortable. I felt comfortable at that rally. So I think they did a good job. Going forward, again, we need the answers on what happened. We need the truth. And that's what this election's about, is it's about truth, right? These guys, you know, throw garbage against the wall all the time. They knock on the president for, you know, Russian collusion, which was complete BS. They hit him for Ukrainian obstruction of justice. That was BS. These court cases are BS. And look, I know personally, I mean, they threw everything they could at me when I was in the Trump administration. I got it. You know, they were aiming at Trump. He was just out of range.
Yeah, and you know, the misinformation from the mainstream media and from the Democrats is at peak levels right now, and it's going to continue all the way through the election. RyanZinke.com if you want to get tickets to this afternoon's rally with Congressman Zinke. And
yeah, come visit the Speaker. It's gonna, you know, the Speaker of the House, right? He's number three in charge. And look, the Speaker, my cut on Mike Johnson is this. Number one, he's the most conservative Speaker the House has ever had. I don't think that's in dispute. Second, he's a constitutional attorney of merit. He represented Trump during the impeachment on the basis of the Constitution. Third, he's a Christian. I don't think there's any doubt about that. If it was not heard, Mike Johnson is a Christian. And lastly, I think his tone, he's kind but firm. And in this world of hyper-partisanship, of anger, you know, being kind in that tone, I think is helpful. And you can be kinder, but firm in it. So I'm a big fan of Mike Johnson. So is the president. But RyanZinke.com. Come say hello to the Speaker of the House of the United States Congress.
All right, let's get some more Montana callers on the line. We got Chris in Columbia Falls. Chris, thanks for calling.
Yeah, thanks. Ryan, I have a point about the east side of Montana, and I've been here since 75, so I'm 85 years old now. But I went hunting on the east side years ago with a great Vietnam vet, Ray Johnson. We had an old Toyota pickup, and we took off with two spare tires, looking for a place to hunt over there. We were on the road for over a week. We went to places like, you know, we left Miles City, Cary, Baker. We went to Ekalaka, and all that. It was quite an adventure. But I come away with something that's really interesting, the changing face of the east side farmers and ranchers. Whose side are they really on? Are they really Montanans? Or why do they support someone like, you know, tested for so long, and they did it with Max Baucus. I go back to Conrad Burns. But these people aren't the same people when I was there, because I used to send Ray Johnson up to the door because he had a southern accent. I don't think they liked my accent from New England, so we always got in to those ranches. They always treated us fair. We gave gave them a small bag of huckleberries, you know, just to make a pie. But they always were kind and gracious to us, and we didn't have this problem of the different branches that are there now.
Hey, Chris,
Thanks
so much for the call, because we got three other callers on the line I'm trying to get to. But thank you so much for the call. I'll turn it over to Congressman Zinke.
I would say the Montana that you and I grew up in, it's changed. You know, public access is a big issue. When I was growing up, you know, you could take it to Snowmobile, roads weren't closed. So, and now Onyx is what people use. There's better systems for public access.
And, of course, Democrats in control of the federal government have closed a lot of our roads into the national forest.
Well, and closed and grossly mismanaged. You know, we have forests. And we've burned up more 2x4s than we ever harvested last year. There's a fire in California that's, I don't know, 400,000 acres. Remember, 640 acres is a square mile. We're talking 400,000 acres. I mean, you look at the carbon footprint on that. So it is mismanagement. On the east side, I'm from Whitefish. Seven plates are during hunting season, a little rough on the east side. But you look, there's the east and west Montana. We're one Montana. You know what? And among good people, you know, good decisions can be made. So I love the east and west. My family, five generations. We started in Bainville. So I tend to want to say I can speak east and west Montana fluently.
Perfect. Let's slip in Perry in Columbus. Perry, thanks for the call.
Good morning, Perry.
Gentlemen. Good morning, Representative. I'm going to slip over the property tax problem. I'll address that at a different
but
time.
That is one big problem, isn't it?
It is. But, more importantly than that, I want to remind Montanans that we the people and the Constitution are supposed to be the masters in this republic, and our elected representatives are the servants in this relationship, and that the Constitution the radical left so despises has solid built-in protections against the tyranny of the majority and that and the tens of millions of illegals that Biden, Harris, and the likes of them are so eager to shove down our collective throats to supposedly, you know, demographically overwhelm us. So, Congressman Zinke, what say you about this relationship, and how are you going to continue to fight to restore that balance?
Great call. Well, a couple things. It is we the people. And I think where we are in a country is we weren't paying attention. You know, in a great democracy like ours, takes participants that pay attention. I mean, in my lifetime, I never thought that a school library board would be controversial. But it is, because there's things in our library that, quite frankly, shouldn't be there. You know, boys should be playing against boys, girls against girls. It's common sense out there, making sure girls have the same opportunity.
Yeah, and we shouldn't be showing pornography to little kids.
That's out of bounds. But we the people, and I say how we got here, we didn't do our job, but we need to pay attention. So if everyone pays attention and does their duty, my duties in Congress and appropriations, maybe our duties making calls and making sure your grandkids are informed.
Speaking of appropriations, I do have a question myself for Congressman Zinke about something mentioned in the political playbook this morning about federal funding and the deadline and how long they're going to extend that out. Plus, we got Ron and Big Fork and Lee and Kalispell on the line coming up right after this.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble and Congressman Zinke taking calls from Montanans. Let's go to Ron in Big Fork. Ron, thanks for calling.
Good morning. Morning, Congressman.
Hey, good morning, Ron.
I want to preface with what I'm going to say by saying I am all pro-law enforcement. My dad was a cop back in the 50s and 60s, and police departments were different then. And the one thing that really sticks in my craw when I watch it on TV is civil asset forfeiture. I know the federal government is really out of control with this.
Yes, they are.
I was going to buy it. There was a guy going to buy a truck, and the seller wanted cash. So he had $80,000 with him. He got pulled over, they confiscated the money, and then the federal government flipped them off, and God knows if they'll ever get anything back. Is anything being done in Washington about this?
There is. There's a couple bills, but I'm concerned because there's no due process, right? Where they, all of a sudden the government comes down, they seize your home, there's a lot of circumstances, and it's saying that they seize and property forfeiture without due process, and they put the onus on the citizen rather than the government. So there's a few bills. One is that some of the DAs, the district attorneys around this country, fund themselves. They're self-funding. They go out and they'll get assets and then sell them, right? Then you're gonna go to court to get them back. It's kind of like the government agency that's in charge of some regulatory action, but their budget is based on going out and finding fines. It's like the police department that's running the speed traps, right? And so, you got to be really mindful of this stuff, especially without due process and when they're self-funding. I think there's an incentive sometimes to do the wrong thing. And, hey, we're going to go make some money. Let's go troll.
Right.
And I think that happens a lot more, and especially if you're on the end of being trolled.
They ought to be incentivized to follow the Constitution and follow the due process.
Yeah, there needs to be a separation. You shouldn't benefit from a direct action that gives you incentives, right?
Right. No, that's a great point. It's the incentive piece that's definitely driving a lot of it. Let's go to Lee in Kalispell. Lee, thanks for calling.
Yeah, right. I'm from Whitefish, in Kalispell area. I knew your dad.
Yeah, I missed my dad a lot, but he had to have that plane. So for everyone listeners, and he did a lawn dart in Kalispell in 2006, and my dad on the aircraft.
Sorry about that.
Yep.
The question I have is about the assassination attempt.
Yep.
There is a right after, about a day or two afterwards, there was a YouTube video of a woman sitting right behind Trump.
Yep.
Before he got shot.
Yep.
She sits there. She picks up her little banner, the little Trump thing. She looks to her. It would be 3 o'clock, I guess you call it, in their terms. She kind of flags it. Then she starts taking pictures of Trump, and he immediately gets shot, goes down. She doesn't really react to the shots. I mean, it's not like a jump or panic or anything else. She's videoing it, and she just kind of kneels low as she's videoing it, and she videos the whole thing, all right, which is kind of odd. Now, the second thing that's kind of odd is they run an identification to find out that she is an assistant FBI director.
Yep.
Now, nobody's talking about that.
C-suite. So she's not just an agent. She's in leadership.
And nobody's talking about that. That's, to me, the thing that Ray said, that there was no FBI in the audience. Well, she was one of them.
Well, there's so many things, right, on the pre-shooting. I mean, you have a shooter on a roof at 130 yards at an angle. You had people see the shooter. We could spend all day, and you mentioned this. My confidence level is you got Mike Waltz on this task force that the speaker appointed, and all of us. And if you watch Dan Borgino, he's exactly right. It's about asking the right questions, right? You got to know what to ask in order to get the right answer. Mike Waltz is as good as they get, and all of us that have experience on it are submitting questions, and we'll run the answers down, because you, myself, America wants to know the truth on this. I mean, this is right at the foundation of our country as governance. So you and I are both I want to know the truth, and we could spend all the balance of this show going through line by line the negligence, the incompetence, the breach of protocol, the lack of communications, pre-briefs, all this stuff that went in there.
Well, I think that the people of Montana like to hear is the fact that you're aware of that issue, you're looking into it, and we're going to get the answer. By the way, I did extend a formal invite to Senator John Tester to also come on the show and take phone calls from Montanans. Haven't heard back from him yet, but we do appreciate Congressman Zinke being willing.
Well, you know, as a representative, you represent. So if you're not willing to talk to people, right, and it doesn't matter the answer. If I don't know it, and I don't know a lot of things, I'll say I'll get back to you. But I think that's the brilliance in about being a Montanan is we can have a dialogue. Well, you know, we go, I'm on radio programs all the time, and on almost all of them are ability for some Montanan to come in, either complain or express their view. And look, I work for Montana. So at the end of the day, you know, I want to hear it too. One thing I learned as commander, you never learn anything at the headquarters. The headquarters will tell you whatever you want. You got to go to the front line. You got to go to the front line, and you do talk to people and real issues. The biggest issue I'm feeling in Montana is shopping cart shock.
For sure.
Because all of a sudden it's barbecue season, right? So you're going to have a couple friends over. You're going to get some beers. You're going to put something on the barbecue. Oh, my God. Because now you're not buying for one or two. You're buying maybe for six people, right? And there's sticker shock. And the government tell you, oh, you know, it's only 8% more expensive. No, it's not. No, look at my cart. Right. I'm buying chicken. Right. It's $400. What did I buy?
The only thing I'll take issue with there is that if you're a Democrat, then you do learn everything from headquarters. And when party headquarters tells you to be excited about Kamala Harris, you get excited about Kamala Harris because party headquarters said so.
I don't think there's enough air to make that flat tire full.
let's take Robert in Southwest Montana. Robert, thanks for calling.
Hey, thank you.
Hey, Robert, how are you doing?
Great. When you were Secretary of Interior, you guys were able to delist the grizzly bears.
Yep. It's coming again. Good.
Well, I hope so. Yesterday we had a calf killed by a grizzly bear, and the people we work with ADC and that, we had the...
So, Robert, where you hang your hat at?
Southwest Montana.
Dillon area? Ennis?
Harrison.
Oh, geez. Yeah, there's a lot of wolves down there, too.
Yep. And we've had way less problems with wolves since they have been delisted, and we've been able to, you know, the hunters and the different things have been going on. We have had almost very little trouble with wolves, but we have grizzly troubles every year.
Yep.
All of my neighbors and...
You know, if you're in Nevada, you got to have hot wire around every outbuilding. I mean, imagine the kids, you know. We used to be able to go out, you know, with a BB gun and a bike, right? You can't do that when you got 12 grizz at night hanging around the outbuilding.
You can't even barely go camping anymore.
No, but on delisting, within the appropriations bills that we delisted the three species in Montana, which we can argue that too, but... The studies are done on the Yellowstone grizzly. The studies are almost done on the continental grizzly, which you're dealing with. And then we got the yak grizzly. So all those three populations have recovered. Matter of fact, they're well beyond recovery. And it's unfortunate, but, you know, Congress has to get involved and undo it when you have a Fish and Wildlife Service that refuses to.
So do the Democrats not understand when you take the top predators and make them completely protected? Like, what do they think is going to happen with grizzlies and wolves?
Well, and the Endangered Species Act, by the way, Dick Nixon, it was a Republican act, when it becomes weaponized, right, we should be celebrating the recovery of the grizzly. You know, we should.
Just like we celebrated the recovery of the bald eagle.
Yeah, and then it goes over to management. And the grizzly bears, like all populations, have to be managed. I mean, we manage dogs, we manage cats, we manage livestock. The only species that we don't manage are those, the one on the endangered species list when they've recovered, and wild horses.
You said there was three. What were the three?
Well, yeah, you have
grizzlies.
Grizzly, well, the three species?
Yeah, that was the three species.
Yeah, yeah, the yak species, which is, you know, Bolivia area, which, you know, most of that habitat is Canadian North. We don't get any credit for it. You have the continental grizzly.
Okay.
And you have the Yellowstone grizzly.
Okay.
Those are the three basic populations.
And then those are all sort of three analyzed differently?
Yeah, they're all looked at differently. Yellowstone grizzly, those studies are done. The continental grizzly is soon to be.
All right, we'll come to Chansey and Kalispell right after this.
Your morning espresso starts right here. It's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
He co-sponsored this Medicare for All bill, universal health care bill, with Bernie Sanders in the U.S. Senate. And now her campaign says we don't know because she doesn't talk to anybody. And now they're saying, well, no, she doesn't support that anymore. He also called for an elimination of all private health insurance. Wow. We know that she has been bragging about Bidenomics. We know she lied about inflation, and it's only transitory. He was praising Bidenomics up until recently and played that on TV last night. We played it on this radio show. Her own words and Tim Walz's own words are devastating to them if the American people only know about it. And this is now becoming a big problem.
The Sean Hannity Show from coast to coast later today.
Hey, protect your home and family. Now, it's a responsibility you cannot take lightly, but starting with deadly force, that should not be your first option, especially given the serious mental, financial, legal consequences that can very well follow. You might want to look at non-lethal force. That's where Burner comes in. It's a non-lethal pistol launcher designed by a group of common sense gun owners, and it's used for everyday Americans concerned about their personal safety and security. Now, the Burner pistol launcher is equipped with powerful deterrents like tear gas and kinetic rounds. So the Burner launcher can incapacitate an attacker for up to 40 minutes. Now, that's enough time to ensure your family's safety. The Burner launcher is legal in all 50 states. You can ship directly to your door. It's time to join the growing movement. And they always put safety first. Go to their website, byrna.com/Hannity. You'll get 10% off. Watch their videos, byrna.com/Hannity, 10% off. And make the smart choice for you and your family and your safety today.
Wild to press out. See you in the details.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Spring Spa Studio, the hot tub company your friends recommend.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
It's David Noble and Congressman Zinke in the House taking phone calls. Congressman Zinke will be with us here until 9:20, and then we're going to have Governor Gianforte join us in studio. Anna in Bozeman had a question for you, Representative Zinke. Who's the commander-in-chief of the USA right now?
Who? That's a roll of the dice, isn't it? That doesn't seem to be President Biden, does it?
No.
He's pretty quiet there. And then you got chain of command. You got over the Defense Department. You got Austin, who, by the way, made the right decision on the plea deal. I mean, the plea bargain with 9/11 guys? I mean, all of America should go to New York and look at the holes and read the names of the ladder men and the fire crews and the first responders, you know, the civilians killed. These people are the epitome of evil. So then they do a plea deal, and the question is, who's commander-in-chief? Well, it seems like there's a couple of people who didn't know about it. One is the Secretary of Defense didn't know. So, you know, there's a little chain of command in there. So some minion working the Secretary's office is running back channels to the White House around the Secretary of Defense. So who's in charge? I don't know who's in charge.
My theory is Barack Obama's in charge from his little house in Washington, D.C. But, Congressman, if you're okay with it, let's try to get some of these callers
right
in. We're loaded up on the phone lines here. We got Clance, or is it Chancey? Chancey in Kalispell. Chancey, thanks for calling.
Chancey, how you doing?
You bet. Good. How are you guys? Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
Hey, Ryan, so I used to run off your brother a little bit. I've met you a few times, Randon, back in the day. Stayed a lot of nights at your mom's house there with Randon. But anyway, I just was going to talk to you a little bit quickly. I have my own shop here in the Kalispell, a tackle shop. I worked at Snappy's for 27 years. Now I started my own shop. Yeah, fishing shop.
I've been to Snappy's a lot, so I look forward to coming in and visiting you. What's the name of your shop,
by the way? So mine's Chance and Dave's Fish Camp. We're just north of Snappy's.
Okay.
We've been open 3 years now. But anyway, I appreciate that. What I was going to ask you about and see what you knew, big concern is our fish and game commissioners. A lot of talk about, you know, how they're placed in there. I believe it's the governor puts them in there. You know, and it doesn't really matter party line. Of course, I'm a strong Republican. You know, there's a lot of question on how much authority and their policies, depending on if it's biased or not. It tends to seem like a lot of these that we get in there tend to follow, you know, agendas that they have, and whether it's fishing, hunting, all that kind of stuff. So it's a big concern. I guess a lot of us would like to see, if possible, where these commissioners that are placed in there are appointed by the people, you know, put up to a vote to put these commissioners in. So I don't know. I've got some customers in here. I just want to throw that out. It's been weighing on me for a long time and a lot of us, and just see what your thoughts were on something like that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, the commission is supposed to be advisory in nature, and the commission is appointed over time. So I think in an 8-year spread, most of those positions will be up, but certainly a 4-year term is not. And they're appointed. I have no problem with appointees, but where I see an issue is downstream interests seem to have the controls on our upstream assets. As an example, with Hungry Horse Dam. Now, in the Flathead, you have the Hungry Horse Dam, which is kind of a faucet. The lake itself is the bathtub, and you have a drain with a dam. Well, you know, when you bring the water level down in the summer, the long full pool, why does this occur? Well, some is we got to make sure the downstream assets, you know, don't want to remove dams and things like that that adversely affect upstream, that affects us. And we want to make sure that we have the voice upstream, especially in our water.
Okay, good point. I'm sure Congressman Zinke had more to say there, but we're out of time. Hey, Richard, Brian, and Grandpa Lou, we will come to you guys.
Oh, my gosh, I had my mic muted that whole time. I'm sorry. We're going to come to Richard, Brian, and Grandpa right after this.